here on 96.5 The Cave. And Pat Hayes, your host tonight, along with my partner, Fred Smith. And our special guest tonight will be Josh Riley, who is the Sports Information Director at Siena Heights University. And I'd like to remind you that tonight's show is being brought to you by Siena Heights University, IAD Insurance Agency, and Lunaway Community Mental Health Authority, and Magic Fountain Auto Wash is our sponsor also here tonight. And gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast, and good to see you, Fred.
Yeah, I'm still trying to catch up after that 50-49 football game we had last Friday night. No, it's always good to be back with you, Patrick. It's been a while since January, before you always do your February Florida excursion.
There you go.
So looking forward to talk some Saints sports tonight.
All right. I'd like to welcome Josh Riley into the broadcast. Josh, Sports Information Director at Siena Heights, and you've got quite a job on your hands, keeping track of all the intercollegiate athletics that are going on at Siena Heights, and welcome to the broadcast.
Appreciate it, Pat. Appreciate having me on, Pat and Fred. Yeah, I wish I could have had a coach for you today, but we've got practices and my head's still spinning, you know, getting ready to start the, we've begun the school year. I can't believe we had students get here to campus a little more than a month ago, and I don't know what's happened in the last month. I mean, it's just been quite the whirlwind. I mean, it's amazing the way campus can go from a ghost town to some happening place in a matter of 2-3 days. But it's a part of the year that I definitely look forward to and dread all at the same time. But yeah, I mean, we're you know, underway. It's crazy. We've only had one true varsity event on campus thus far. We hosted the Siena Heights Women's Volleyball Invitational last weekend. And our volleyball women did well. They won all four matches. It was quite a bear of a weekend to get through with six volleyball teams and one gym and two floors going at the same time. But you know, our ladies struggled a little bit throughout the weekend, but still won 4 of 4, and unfortunately followed it up with a conference loss later in the week to drop to 0-2. But that was the first team that's been on campus thus far, and now this week, it's starting to ramp up. We have our first home soccer event coming up on Wednesday night. Our women's soccer team will be playing Mount Vernon Nazarene, and then volleyball, two home matches this weekend, one on Friday night, one on Saturday. Early evening, late afternoon, 4 p.m. We'll have football at noon on campus on Saturday, followed by volleyball. So hopefully we get a couple of wins on campus on Saturday. But that's going to be a crazy day, going from O'Laughlin Stadium over to the Fieldhouse, trying to get all of our bases covered. But looking forward to it. I'll tell you what, I got here. You know, my second run here as Siena Heights Sports Information Director, and I got here in January. So I didn't get to see any of the fall teams play, and I'm still getting to know a lot of the fall student athletes, and you know, I got to know all the winter folks and the spring people. They should, you know a name with the face, but now we're in the fall, so I'm very, very excited to see these teams play. Just haven't seen a Siena Heights soccer game up close and personal in what, 8 years, and same thing goes with football and volleyball. I'm excited to only run one floor rather than a two-floor invitational. But yeah, it's like I say, it's starting to ramp up. But I'm excited for it. I mean, football, very excited for it, because it was one of the number one reasons why, you know, I came here to Siena Heights. I was here for season number one, 2011,
yeah.
our club season, and you know, I had a little bit of football expertise. Had worked at a couple of places that had football before, so I think that's why Fred Smith and company brought me here to Siena Heights. Hopefully, he enjoyed the job I did way back when we introduced football. But yeah, I mean, that's football will always hold a special place. Siena Heights football always will hold a special place in my heart, just because it was probably what got me here. And I got to see the beginning stages, the Coach Lyle days, now the Coach Cohn days. And, Josh,
I want to ask you, a lot of people know sports information directors. They probably write the stories. They do a lot of behind-the-scenes activities. Why don't you give our listeners a little glimpse at, what does your job entail at Siena Heights?
Oh, my gosh. What time does the show end? It's funny because the business, I mean, I could take you back 10, 15 years to what it was and what it is today and how much it's kind of shifted. I got into sports information because my dad was a sports information director. He got into sports information because he was a newspaper guy. So for about 30 years, he worked at the local newspaper in my hometown back in Western New York, about an hour outside of Buffalo, hour south of Buffalo, right on Lake Erie. My hometown is Dunkirk, New York. My dad worked at the local newspaper for about 30 years, sometimes in sports, sometimes out of sports. Eventually, he got tired of the newspaper thing and said, I'm going to give sports information a try. And he got to Fredonia. And then about 4 years after that, when I graduated from college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of wanted to be a teacher, but because he had this new profession, I sent out some resumes, and next thing you know, I was an assistant SID at Potsdam, a Division III up in New York. 10, 15 years ago, on a weekend, I would be handling the press releases on the website, statting a game, maybe getting a photographer to shoot two or three games, maybe, depending on what we had in our budget. Way back when, I wasn't taking pictures when I was an assistant sports information director at my first stop. But like I say, stats, press releases, some photos. We didn't jump into video too hardcore back then. Live streaming wasn't as big as it was, as it is nowadays.
Sure.
10, 15 years ago, when I'm talking about live audio and live video, schools that provided that, at least at the small school level, were few and far in between. The website, social media wasn't even wasn't barely a thing 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When I would send out my post-game release, usually you send it out on an email blast and you send it out via fax machine. If you can believe, I can't believe I've seen the fax machine kind of come and go in the last 15 years. Okay, and that was 10, 15 years ago. Nowadays, we'll handle the stats. I do a lot of public address. We run the press box, stats, website we'll take care of. We do the social media, whether it's Twitter, it's Instagram, it's Facebook. We're putting different posts up on there. But the video and the streaming and the graphics and the Photoshop, like a lot of the flash stuff has really come about in the last 5-10 years. When I first got into sports information, the drive was all about, all right, we got to get the greatest website, the most attractive website possible. We want to drive people to our website, and this has got to look great because this is where everybody's going to be coming for our information.
Sure.
Today, I'm not saying the website isn't important, because it is, but I downplay it a little bit more than I used to, because I almost feel like the social media side of things is where. And I know this when I have a student, one of my work study students will ask me, or one of my workers, hey, what's the schedule this week? Well, go on the website, It's there. It's there, but it's incredible, and I probably haven't even covered all the bases as to what has been added to the profession. But, it used to be, just write the game story, get the story online, send the story out. Nowadays, it's, stat the game, write the story, get it online, get it on Twitter, get it on Facebook, get it on Instagram, make sure the live stream's up. I do the public address thing here most of my other stops I've been at in the profession. But I love getting behind the microphone. That's fine by me. But you know, it's a catch-all for so many different things. The Hall of Fame committee and what have you, you name it, most of the communications marketing effort that comes out of Siena Heights Athletics is either coming through my office or, you know, some of it's coming from marketing, but most of it is you know, most of that stuff you see that gets out there, and hopefully most of the news that we get out there, post out there, is coming from one of our several outlets. No more fax machines. I don't fax anything anymore, but all that other stuff. And like I say, I'm probably leaving out a few things right now, but
well, you know,
there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes into whether it's a game night or a you know, it's a game night or if it's a game weekend where you're covering, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 home events in one day on one campus, and then you got 5 other teams that are playing elsewhere. Yeah. And it's kind of my job to kind of coordinate that effort to get our story out there, get that information out there.
Well, you're not only important for the public to read and to visualize all that's going on at Siena Heights. I'm sure the coaches also rely on you a lot of times for the statistics and some of those things that are very, very important for them, maybe during games and even after the games, to know where they have to go as far as what they need to do in practice.
Yeah, and that's and it's the funny thing is about stats and other stuff like that is like that's almost like the beginning of sports information. I mean, I think that's why I get into it.
Yeah,
is you know any one of us that, I mean, yeah, why. Well, what am I? I'm in the millennial generation. I'm 39. I'm dating. I'm almost 40. Oh, wow. But I mean, a lot of us, I think we grew up on the newspaper, the newsprint, and I'd be covered in newspaper, going over the standings and looking at the scoreboard page in the paper. And I don't think it's the same nowadays in 2023 as it was in 1993. But I mean, that's how I think a lot of us get into sports. Is you know, you get the sport, you see the numbers, and that's the beginning of it. That's the funny thing. That's the funny thing about sports information is you get into the stats. And I think that maybe not the young professionals nowadays. I think the young professionals that get into sports information and athletic communications nowadays are getting into it more because of the flash and the social media graphics and the pictures and the video and all that stuff. I think people used to get into it years ago because of the journalism and the statistics side of things.
Things have certainly changed.
Yeah. And point blank, there are probably fewer stat nerds in sports information than there were nowadays, which is a good thing and a bad thing. Sometimes you do wonder if the guy on the other end is statting the game properly, because that happens sometimes where I'll get a coach in my office that says, well, so-and-so had 7 tackles, but they gave those 7 tackles to this other person, or this person had 32 points, but so-and-so, the other school, only had them for 29, and that stuff sort of happens, and,
We want to get Fred in here. He's falling asleep over here in the corner.
Yeah, well, you know.
Come on in here, Fred.
I'm feeling guilty because all the years he worked for me, he was underpaid, obviously. But, no, seriously, the one thing that Josh, I think, he just also didn't emphasize, is he has to know how to stat every sport. And he was there at the beginning when, well, football, he had the experience. But the lacrosse, that was a major challenge for us. Then when we started live stat and volleyball games.
Oh, my gosh.
So then he's coordinating student workers, doing it on a computer. And that's a whole other thing he doesn't talk about is the training of people so that they can do this. And it is so important to the coaches. We want everything right now, certainly. But from a basketball standpoint, what is an assist and all that. And but for me, heck, I had never seen a lacrosse game before other than on TV. And then even the difference of how to handle a cheer and dance event. You can go on and on and on. So he's invaluable. They're almost like assistant athletic directors now, sports information.
Oh, man, that would be a great title change. Yeah, but push that along.
I'm a nobody now.
I want to know how you stat in an esports game.
Yeah. Oh, that's something that I'm gonna have to find that I still have to find out. Luckily, Steven Robinson, who was a student athlete here years ago.
He was a football player.
One of the few. I mean, there are a few of them in our athletic department, and there's a smattering of former student athletes on our campus that were here years ago when I was here. It's definitely nice to see them and have them recognize me and recall some of the things I did way back when. I mean, it's neat to be remembered for stuff like that. So, as Fred said, training students is a big thing, but something I really enjoy. It can be one of the biggest pains. it can be a pain at times. But once it starts working like that well-oiled machine, when it really does come together, there is a great deal of satisfaction. And I've always said I didn't learn how to lead and direct students and work with students until I was here at Siena Heights and realized the value, the power of words, the influence I could have. Didn't realize it until, a couple of disputes here and there I had with students, and I realized that, wow, they do actually take what I say, they actually take it seriously. And
You're probably looking for that student that really wants to do this sort of thing and make a difference.
Yeah, and that will always be a challenge, too, because, I do tell students of mine as I'm hiring them, before I'm going to hire them, or after I've hired them, this is not your normal show up and sit at a desk 2-hour work study position. It's just not.
Yeah.
But that's my selling point too. Is like, look, you're not going to be able to sit in the library. And no offense to those work study positions where a kid can go and sit for 3 hours and. Maybe
work and study.
Yeah. I mean, there are kids that I know have come to me, and then they find out some of the extensive labor that will go into running an event, stuff that, a lot of spectators don't see. But when I tell I tell my kids, look, you're gonna be showing up an hour before a game. Hopefully they're showing up an hour before the game, but then we're wrapping up afterwards. I might need some help with a video highlights or taking pictures off a camera because when that game hits zeros, I probably still have another hour or two or three of, getting things together and piecing together the product that I have in my head. So I mean, it takes a lot. I mean, there are challenges that I'm not really looking forward to this week as we get into the home events, but they're challenges. They're exactly that. I mean, you take them. I know I've got a good crop of 2, 3, 4 really good leaders that I identified last semester that I knew coming into this year. Like, these are going to be my kids that I can lean on to lead, and I can point to and say, "Be like her. Be like him, and take after the good kids, the favorites. I hate to call them favorites, but the good kids, the good workers, know that I'll be a little bit more flexible with them and their time and their and what they can maybe get away with on a game day. But they got to come to work. I mean, one of our things is, and it's hard to do this. But the no phones in the press box, no phone to the score tables.
Oh, yeah.
And we try and get rid of that year after year, and it always keeps popping up. Well, I got a box this year that I think I'm going to be closing up phones in up until halftime. And I even talked to one of my better workers the other day and said to her, I said, "Hey, I love it. I love how you worked for me the other night, but I'll tell you what. I can't have you doing stats and having your phone out all the time. Ah, I'm a great worker, she said. And I, no. Look, sometimes it's about optics. Sometimes it's about optics. And we are going to have, we have a new president on campus, you know, Dr. Palmer. And he, I think, is going to be coming to a lot of athletic events and seeing how things work and seeing how things are done. And 'cause he's new, and I'm sure, you know, he's got ideas on the way, you know, things should be run. You know, I just don't want that optic, you know, in front of me. How come the workers at the official table are staring at their phones? That's going to be a battle that I'm going to get to fight as early as Wednesday night. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's the only way to get things done properly.
We got to take a break here, Josh, but we'll be back. Our guest today, Josh Riley, Sports Information Director at Siena Heights University. And we'll be back to talk more about the SID's work and the intercollegiate athletic teams that he'll be covering this fall at Siena Heights. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with IAT Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
You are back at Saint Sports Weekly. Pat Hayes, your host, talking with Josh Riley, the Sports Information Director at Siena Heights University, and, of course, Fred Smith. And, Fred, why don't you come in and give your perspective of sports information in general and how things work from a coaching standpoint.
Well, you know, from an AD and a coaching standpoint, it is, I mean, it's a vital hire for your program. And the problem is that it's such a time-demanding job. As somebody who spent 30 years coaching or 37 years AD, and many times you'd be the last one to leave. No, I would never was the last one to leave. Our SIDs were always still there. And, you know, and that's because of all the work they had to do. So it takes somebody that really just loves it and the whole nine yards. The fact we have a sports management program at the university, back in our day, there's no sports management. I think it's helped at least get interested people involved. But as Josh pointed out, they got to be able to learn and move quickly. As a coach, certainly stats are vitally important. And I'm not a social media guy, but that is really where it's at now, you know, that is really where many of the changes are at. But I want to shift gears myself. I want to dig right into Siena sports because I'm not around as much. And it seems to me, Josh, volleyball and women's soccer have gotten off to great starts. Has there been any other surprises so far this year?
I wouldn't say surprise. I mean, from an individual standpoint, we had a great men's cross country individual not a great team effort, but we had a sophomore kid by the name of Andrew Stern who broke 26 in the 8 kilometer.
Yeah, that's good.
And I know that was he ran 25 minutes 50 seconds.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that was encouraging. I spent my Sunday with Coach Bauer, outgoing yeah. Coach Bauer, but even we talked about the cross country coach or the cross country programs yesterday, and even he was surprised. Oh wow, Stern went fast. So I think that was the big highlight out of the cross country weekend, as the men and women went down to Indiana Wesleyan and ran against some great competition down there. Isabel Ugansky was the top women's runner. They had a couple of girls, I think, in the top 50 or 60 of close to 200 runners. But yeah, outside of that, women's soccer is unbeaten, I should say.
Yeah.
3 wins, no losses, 2 ties. They've tied their last 2. Both of them were on the road.
Because there's been no.
No
you
home
said
games.
One home event.
No
right?
home. Yeah, no home games. They'll be playing their home opener on Wednesday. But
wow.
Yeah, women's soccer. They tied Judson 1-1, and then they tied Indiana Kokomo this past weekend. Scoreless tie. So I don't know. I don't know why we went. Could have saved money on the buses and all that if you're going to play a 0-0 game. But
you're being a little sarcastic there, John.
Coach Oliver, he texted me. He texted me after the game. I go, he texted me a video, his post-game interview, and it was funny because I picked up my phone at that exact time to harass him about playing a 0-0 hockey or soccer game, and I get the update, the video update. But yeah, they played to a scoreless tie down there, and I think he had hoped that they would get down there and take a win away from Kokomo, but just weather conditions kind of hampered the offense. They played on the field wasn't as wide, only 70 yards wide. It was a neat to kind of watch. The game was part football field, part baseball field, one of those, kind of like what we have here. But they were looked like they were playing in old Oakland Coliseum part of the game, when they were running through the infield on the women's soccer pitch the other day. But, yeah, I think Coach Oliver thinks that they should have gotten away, maybe should have 4 wins on the year. But 3-0-2,
that's a good start.
Nobody's beaten them yet. Women's volleyball had a little bit of a setback this past Wednesday at Michigan Dearborn, and Fred, we were talking, ironically, Coach Kim Barrington just last week on the show, when she was asked, who could be the biggest competition in the conference, and she mentioned a lot of schools, and she also mentioned Dearborn as possibly the dark horse in the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference. And sure enough, our women go out to Dearborn last week, and they lose in 4 sets. The 3 sets that we lost were 25-23 losses. So we were right in those 3 sets that we lost. But, yeah, it was a tough one, especially with the expectations. I'm sure the goals are set there. I'm not pinning this on, I'm not pinning this on Kim and her girls, but I'm sure the goal is to make it to the national tournament.
Yeah, well, they had such an awesome year, 18-2 in the league.
Yeah.
Lost in really the qualifying game to go.
Yeah.
And you're right, that's the next step. But as we all know, the process inch by inch. And Kim, Coach Barrington, such a great coach, and those women were so impressive on the program. I'm sure it stung. It always stings. But anytime you walk, I tell this story all the time, and the year we were national runner-ups, we go to Cornerstone. Cornerstone really wasn't Cornerstone yet then. We beat them, if you can believe this score, 53-51. Heck, that's a halftime score for us, right? We did not play good, but I remember telling our guys, we got out of here alive, and you look back and you got to get through the ones that are mucky,
Yep.
And so hopefully they can get rolling again. And how's our men's soccer team? Did they get their first W?
Men's soccer team, yeah, they started off their season 0-2, and they've won their last 2 games.
Oh, that's great to hear.
They played St. Mary of the Woods yeah. College down in Indiana.
Yeah, he didn't know who they were. I remember him at the
relatively new athletic program, St. Mary of the Woods.
I had that same thought too. We were talking about it on the radio on Inside the Cave, and where is St. Mary's in the Woods? And so I looked it up while John was reading the story, and sure enough, there is a St. Mary's in the Woods town.
Yeah, yeah. The St. Mary of the Woods, Indiana Dateline, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they're down there, and they've been. I know they played us in men's volleyball this past year when after I got here, and they were new to me too. Who is this SMWC? But yeah, our men's soccer team went down there and had a nice 6-3 win. Got off the Schneid after losing the first two, and then they went up to Albion and played.
That's right. I saw they beat Albion.
Division III Albion last week. So yeah, men's soccer.
That's a nice win. Yeah.
Yeah, men's soccer has won a couple games. I'm sure that St. Mary game helped them.
Well, they started off at Huntington, at Albion,
yeah,
Nazarene, and those are tough ones.
Yeah.
On the road, that's like the Lions starting at Kansas City, but you know. Sometimes good guys win.
That's right.
Yeah, but it was good for them to get back on the winning track. We had a lot of some positives, some negative in the last week in the start of the year at CN Heights. But man, we're barely into conference season for volleyball, and not even into conference season for any of the other sports yet. So we still got quite a ways to go.
Our golf team shot like 300, which is a heck of a score. It was third in an invite down at what's that course in Blissfield? I said South
Legacy.
Legacy.
Yep.
And they shot, I think the top two guys shot 72, 73.
Yep. Yep.
And that coach has done a good job. So there's some good things going on. I know Saturday was a tough one. We got hammered pretty good by Roosevelt, and I know it was on the airs, but we have to bounce back this Saturday, and I know everybody cares about football, and St. Ambrose and Siena has always been quite a game, a home opener. So that's Saturday at noon. So Friday you got volleyball. Saturday at noon, which means you get there about 9 or 10. I know I'm being the old AD. And then you go from there right on over to the field house to do volleyball. Who do we entertain in volleyball this weekend?
Ooh.
Boy, that was a test. You can't.
It was a test. Because
well, they do Friday, Saturdays, which the tough thing is, Pat, is trying. We'd like to go during the day, but we don't have enough locker room space because our football team's dressed in the field house. That's why we kind of, we go in the afternoon because they like to get them done by 1.
Sure. Yeah. So I should have known this offhand. I mean, it's like I say, it's a blur. I'm just trying to get through Monday, Fred.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get through Monday. No, but we got the Madonna. Our women's team is going up to Madonna on Wednesday. The women's volleyball team.
Yeah, and then Friday.
And then we get the Grand Rapids schools Aquinas on Friday. Cornerstone
Man,
on Saturday.
They start
it doesn't.
Tough.
It doesn't get the volleyball. The volleyball will never be easy. It's just not. I mean, like we say, Kim mentioned Dearborn as a dark horse, and then throw in those other schools: yeah. Cornerstone, Madonna, Aquinas, Indiana Tech. There aren't many easy nights. That's part of the challenge for our volleyball program to hopefully make a run. But yeah.
Also, for those that want to get out and watch, it's exciting volleyball too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one incredible thing one of the biggest changes I can note in my previous time from 2011 to 2015 here at Siena Heights to now getting here at the beginning of 2023. I was here when Kim Coach Barrington was hired, but I never saw her coach the women's team. I saw her coach the men, maybe. I may have not seen her coach, actually.
Right.
I don't think I ever saw her coach the women before. So I was very excited to get back here. I had known all the good things about Kim. I had heard her coach. I'd seen how she handled student-athletes. But then I bailed on us, back in late 2015. But I came back and the feel around that program in particular,
so
the women's volleyball program, is incredible. It's just the feel, the way the women carry themselves, the way they come prepared. You peek in out of practice. The energy is there. They have got. I mean,
coaches really make a difference.
Yeah, they,
it's called culture.
Yeah,
you know, we talk
they,
about
they
it.
Have got. They have got women on that team that are probably in their second or third rotation that would have been starters 10, 15 years ago. I mean, they've got girls that are sitting the bench and coming in as role players that would have been playing almost every point 10 years ago. But they're deep, good kids. An incredible culture change. And, Coach Barrington and her staff and – I mean, it's neat to see in the field house every day. It's just something. I'm rooting hard. I mean, rooting for all of our CN Heights teams, but good volleyball is, I mean, good volleyball is, it's like most sports, you know, when it's good, it's hard not to enjoy, even if you don't understand the sport, you might not be the biggest volleyball fan. When it's good, when it's quality, and our women's team is, it's just so fun to watch. Plus, I mean, if you're really good and you win in three sets, I mean, your day's done in three sets too. Yeah. As we always, we can always root for. If we can, they can get me a lot of three set wins. I'm really a huge fan of them,
Yeah, we used to laugh years ago. We always had a lot of five setters, and Laura, Coach Casares, helped us out a lot, and I'd always. She always would gripe about that. I'd always just put up the five because she knows it was going to go five, which means instead of an hour, 15-minute night, it's
going
to be
going
about
2 hours.
2 hour plus.
Well,
but
it's funny you mentioned St. Ambrose coming in football. It's the Laura Klutsaritz Bowl this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
In football.
She's a
St. Ambrose grad.
Yep. The Fighting Bees.
So so she get to see her alma mater come in and play her. Play her employer, the CN Heights Saints. But yeah, I mean, hopefully we can take care of business that day. But yeah, the Laura Klutsaritz Bowl, I've been calling it. So
one question I have for you, Josh, CN Heights is with the Wolverine Hoosier Athletic Conference, but also other sports like football, the Mid-States Conference. Issues there, or how is it to work with multiple conferences?
Not as difficult. I mean, there was a period of time, I can tell you, and it's been it's been more streamlined now than it was in years past, but it's not as difficult. Years ago, men's volleyball used to be in one conference, and women's lacrosse and men's lacrosse were doing their thing, and football was doing its thing. As the Wolverine Hoosier, as the WAC has begun to sponsor these sports, and it's just plainly, all right, we got to get, what is it, six or seven, once they have enough teams, and all right, we're going to sponsor a championship in men's lacrosse, and then we're going to sponsor. So it all comes along. I'm wondering when it will happen for football. I don't know if it I couldn't tell you if any have discussions been had. But I'm with the more, how many WAC schools have football now? There's Concordia, there's Siena Heights, there's Madonna, there's Lawrence Tech. Is that it? Are we at four?
Yeah, and then you have the Indiana schools, which are obviously Marion Taylor, Indiana Wesleyan. I'm forgetting somebody. There's eight in the conference. But the good news is in your early days, we were traveling down 80-90 to go to Iowa and Chicago every weekend, and with the advent of Lawrence Tech and Madonna.
Wow, those travel budgets.
Concordia
having
football. In our own division, because it used to be our division would go all the way out there. Now the Chicagolands, with Roosevelt going to GLIAC, they'll be down to six schools. So I don't know which Indiana school is going to volunteer to go to Chicago, but that's a good question. And there's been talk of that. But at this point, in essence, there are two separate leagues, the Mideast and the Midwest.
And the Midwest, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they are under one banner. You go to the Mid-States Football website, and there are crossover games, but Your division is your league schedule, much like the other side is their league schedule. The MSFA will get two automatic bids from each division, and probably a third or a fourth.
We always get two out of the Mideast because of Wesleyan, certainly, and Marion and St. Francis have all been Powers and Concordia, and we've always been on the lip of the cup, probably kind of like a Pat Putt and his golf league, right to the lip of the cup.
There you go.
We've had some great good seasons, and we haven't quite got to nationals, and I know that. That's where Coach Cohen wants to go, but we've certainly had very competitive football without the great travel that we've had.
Yeah,
we have to take a break here though, but this hour is flying by here. But we're talking with Josh Riley, the sports information director at Siena Heights University, along with Fred Smith, and we'll be back with our final segment after we pause for these words.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
If you're looking to truly make a positive impact on the community, consider a career at Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority. We're seeking dedicated individuals to join our team and provide essential mental health services to our community. Your skills and empathy will be the key to helping individuals on their path to resilience, recovery, wellness, and self-determination. Make a difference where it matters most and be a force for positive change. Apply online at lcmha.org or find us on Indeed. Master's and bachelor's level social workers are highly encouraged to apply.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 and 965thecave.com. Our guest tonight, Josh Riley, Sports Information Director at Siena Heights. Fred Smith, also a regular here on the program. And Josh, my next question concerns the administration, of course, a new president coming in, and I've already seen on social media he's very involved with the students and seems to be enjoying the sporting events at Siena Heights. And maybe give us your comments about how the administration supports you.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Palmer and Sister Peg was great for the university for so many years. Hearing Dr. Palmer talk, just a new voice, new leader of our campus. It's hard not to get excited about some of the things his vision, his views. I think he's going to be a very supportive athletic director, a very supportive president of our athletic department. He wants our teams to, he wants us to win. He wants us to bring good students here. He wants us to keep them here. He wants us to win. It's hard for me to say, you know, how things are going to go long term. In terms of, I think it's a better question to ask, like, you know, how do I feel, how things have gone maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, and, you know, what sort of new things and what new, you know, how athletics appears here. But in terms of administration and support, I mean, I had a great AD when I was here before, my first tenure, guy by the name of Frederick Smith, and he was great. And the best part about coming back here to Siena Heights was having that support, institutional knowledge, that rapport that I've already developed with the same people, most of the same people that I worked with years prior. I mean, you know, working under Fred Smith or Sue Siljabic is different in its own ways, but I mean similar. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not a morning guy, and Fred knew I wasn't a morning guy, and Sue knows I'm not a morning guy. So that's that was the best part. You know, no, but I mean. I think the thing that I enjoy about Siena Heights more than anything is the ability. It is a place that takes my opinions and they mean something. When I'm asked a question about my expertise on something and what I think and how we can do it differently or how have we done this elsewhere, and because it hasn't always been. All my stops in my collegiate career haven't always been that way, but my opinions are taken, and people take them and use them, or they don't use them, but my opinions are respected. My ideas, you know, I throw a lot of ideas through the AD office nowadays, and I'm surprised that, that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a great idea. I mean, case in point, a radio guy, the new radio guy that we have here, Jeremy Otto, who did a wonderful job Saturday night calling his first Siena Heights football game. Jeremy has experience. He does Detroit Mercy men's basketball. He does Michigan State women's volleyball. I met Jeremy years ago through the sports information industry. He was at Mary Grove. Eventually, he was at Madonna. He graduated from Madonna. But when Chris Renwick said, "Nah, I'm going to take this year off. I want to spend some time with family. I got a lot of weddings." Well, it was time to scramble and find somebody else for the radio. And I know I could do it if I wanted, but then part of me doesn't. I worry a little bit about everything else that needs to get done on a football Saturday. When the name Jeremy Otto came across my phone, or, you know, somebody called me and said, "Jeremy Otto, this might be," and I know he's not a huge name down here, but he's been out there. He's been a broadcaster for 13, 14, 15 years now. And for a guy that sat down with Coach Cohn and talked with Coach Cohn on Thursday and sat down with me and ran through some things, and he did his homework on the website and got as much information. I mean, he did such an incredible job on Saturday. I had to go to bat for him a little bit when we were going to replace Chris Renwick, and I had to go to, you know, our administration and say, "Look, I mean, we might have to pony up a little bit to get this guy, you know, but," and I was surprised. I said, "But, you know, this guy's going to be great. I'm telling you." Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I thought I was going to be, you know, trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel somewhere to find anybody to call my football games. And instead, I got a really good, you know, so I get that sort of support. I hope to get more support here in the future. Right now, I got one graduate assistant position, but I could always use more students, more bodies, another assistant position. You know, there's so much that we do in my office, you know, athletic communication, sports information, whatever you want to call it,
dealing with like the media.
Well, man, that's I tell you what, that's the toughest part.
You know? Well, you know, people don't know, Josh, when you left Siena, you went back to your hometown area.
Yeah.
Went to Mercyhurst to run a huge program, plus the Division I hockey, which was your dream. We were all heartbroken, but it was a great move for you. And then you ended up, you were writing for the Erie newspaper. Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring this up, Josh told me how good Torkelson and who was the other guy?
Riley Green,
because Riley he saw Green. Him play sure. all the time. He covered him. So yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Well, I got to interview Torkelson. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I had a great question for Torkelson. Hopefully none of the Erie TV stations hear this, but I always thought our newspaper coverage blew away some of the TV coverage. Just because we're able to tell the stories more.
Yeah.
I always thought we asked better questions of some, you know. But I got to interview Torkelson. I got to see his first double-A home run with the Erie Seawolves. He hit it off the out in left field, beyond the left field fence. It's kind of a short porch, but beyond the left field fence is the arena for the junior mm-hmm. hockey team that plays in Erie. Junior hockey, the biggest name that they had come through Erie in the last 10 years is a guy by the name of Connor McDavid, which me and McDavid and I were in Erie at the same time together. You know, one of the greatest players in the world. He and I were in Erie at the same time. I never got over there to see the Erie Otters play. Did I call them the Seawolves? The Otters are the hockey team. The Seawolves are the baseball team. But Torkelson hits a ball off the arena in left field, and it just set up the perfect question because he had only been there 2 or 3 days. But when you get down there to plate level and you look out in left field, it's hard not to think, like, oh, I want to crush a ball off that arena out there. So to be the guy that he kind of smirked, you know, there's the interview. It's out there somewhere on the Erie newspaper website. But just to say, hey, Spencer, what did you think of seeing that big arena out in left field? You think target practice the first time you saw it? And he cracked up and laughed the first time he heard that. And he agreed with me. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's hard not to get down there and look out to left. I mean, it's not much distance down the left field line and down to the arena. But, yeah, I tell you what, a couple years ago I thought the Tigers were going to be the dark horse a couple of years ago, and it's taken them a while,
but they're coming.
They're coming.
Well, he's got 25, 26 home runs.
Oh,
so
yeah,
far.
He's
this
had a, you know,
heck of a
and
run
the other
here.
Guy, it might be, even be a better player, and they both went up through Erie, but that's one thing about Josh. We were lucky to get him back, and as you can tell, it's quite a demanding position, and he better – take his vitamins this weekend because who do we play Wednesday in soccer?
Mount Vernon Nazarene in soccer.
That's always they're a member of the Indiana League, now the only Ohio school I can't. It used to be called the Mid-Central. I don't know what it's called.
The Crossroads.
I'm sorry. And then what about the St. Ambrose in football? How are they doing so far?
St. Ambrose – I think it's a winnable game. We definitely need a win. I think St. Ambrose is probably right where we're at right now too. I think this is a big game. You know, it's still a crossover. You know, it's not an actual conference game, but. I mean, I think Ambrose is one of those schools just like us that can find its way into the mix in the Midwest division like we're going to be trying to do in the Mideast division. But, I mean, there's still quite a bit of catch-up for some of these top teams. I mean, it blows me away some of this. I mean, I've been doing a little bit of research in the MSFA and some of these football teams. And I mean, there are some really, really good teams. And Roosevelt is, I mean, they beat our team 38-10, and 2 weeks ago they played the Division III defending national champ and got hammered by North Central, mm-hmm. I think North Central may replace my old stomping grounds, Mount Union. I think North Central might be taking over as the model Division III football program. But, yeah, Roosevelt played a great program and then got beaten up on and then, you know, obviously took out a little bit of frustration.
Well,
on our guys,
you know, Roosevelt really is a combination. It was really Robert Morris football.
Yeah.
That when Robert Morris and Roosevelt.
Our old rivals, the Robert Morris.
Yeah, the first game we ever played. And we probably, even though we had great games, we've gotten the better of them most of the time. And but Robert Morris and Roosevelt merged, and it went under the Roosevelt flag. But it's tough. You know, no offense, we couldn't find a UNLV or somebody that we could bring in and whip a little bit. And we opened on the road. And that makes it tough. So now we know our weaknesses. And I know you'll probably talk to Coach Cohn on your morning program.
We did. We talked to him this morning. And, you know, we just have to cut down on the turnovers. And that was the big problem this last game.
And offense has been the big deal for us. You know, we don't give up 38 a lot, though, either.
That's right.
Yeah, but it can be easy to give up 38 when you – give them seven extra possessions, too.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was tough to see. I mean, it was – but I think it'll come together. I mean, they've – I got to go out in there and walk through practice last Thursday and see some of the guys and talk with some of the guys. And, you know, like you said, the defense doesn't normally give up 38, but, I mean, I think the defense will get better.
We usually see the most progress from game one to game two, so – this is a good time, and maybe we'll turn that around.
Yeah, really. I mean, in most Siena Heights football seasons that I can remember in my past. I mean, this will be my first one in a while, but most Siena Heights football seasons that I can remember is it's the same. Kids are going to come play. They're going to play. They're going to play hard. Whether it's early or late in the season. I mean, there have been a lot of great games that I can recall at O'Laughlin Stadium. Some wins, some losses, some against some great competition that we probably had no business being in that game, but found a way to stay in the game. So no, I'm confident in our guys' ability to, you know, get it back together and hopefully get a W. I mean, it'll be nice to get a home game and maybe that's what we need is a nice.
Josh, is there a theme to this game? I mean, is this like veterans? I mean, what?
This is kind of a red, white, and blue day. Wear red, white, and blue, and this donor and partner day. So yeah, I know we'll have donors and some of our community partners are you know. I'm not at the forefront of that. I mean, I know the themes, but I'm not burning up the phone lines calling all partners and the donors, you know, trying to. I'll call a couple and see if they're coming to town. I know a few, but.
We're about out of time here, but any final thoughts from either of you two before we call it a night?
It was a big weekend, and wish you luck, you know, with all you do, Josh, and then we got a picture of Hernandez, but it's a big weekend, and hopefully the Saints can get some wins in all these sports.
No, I appreciate it. It is a big week and coming up. Looking forward to it. Like I say, we've only had our volleyball tournament here. It'll be nice to see actual single games and see what each of our teams have. And yeah, football is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully we get, you know, Adrian and I know folks in Adrian, Lenawee County get out and check our teams out. And you know, you can hear me on the microphone. I'll be doing some play-by-play for our homecoming game.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but yeah, you know, get out to campus. I think we're in store for a really good school year. Looking forward to glad to have a full school year in front of me. That's for sure.
All right, Josh Riley, Sports Information Director, our special guest here on Saints Sports Weekly, and Fred, thank you for your contribution, and we'll talk to you folks soon. We'll see you back here again next week, Fred.
Good, I can't wait.
All right, that's Saints Sports Weekly. Thanks for joining us.
At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Preventing prescription drug abuse begins with you. Safeguard all medication at your home by monitoring quantities, controlling access, and keeping track of refills. Use medication only as directed by a healthcare professional and never share your medication with others. Properly dispose of unused or expired medication to avoid potential abuse. Talk about the dangers of prescription and over-the-counter drug abuse with your family and stop prescription drug abuse before it starts. For more information, contact Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority at 263-8905.